Praise God. So this is something we worked on Sunday, but it is also something, as it is with a lot of passages in Deuteronomy, it is repetitive to Exodus and Leviticus. This particular conversation we already came across in Exodus chapter 21. And so this discussion in this chapter is about release. It's the year of the Lord's release. It's the seventh year. And at the end of the seventh year, all slaves are freed and all debts are forgiven. At the seventh of the seven-year periods, in the year of Jubilee, at the end of the 49th year, the year of Jubilee is the 50th year, not only do all these things happen, but also all land reverts back to its original families or its original tribal connections. And so God has this built in the law that money and people and land holdings all go back at some point. And so there's this redemption theme throughout this reading. There's this I'm gonna set you free mentality in God's overall plan. And so we're gonna look at this again tonight. We'll review a little bit of Sunday morning. Built into this passage is a continual forgiveness of debts, and the first few verses go into that. We didn't read it tonight, but it's about new beginnings and fresh starts, and it's also about personal responsibility. It's about the fact that you need to pay your debts. Not only is it about forgiving and releasing people that are in debt, but it's also about equally, I think, paying your debts. And so, and it's also about God's benevolent use of slavery. He turns a noxious, evil, horrible thing in the world upside down and makes it a productive and a promising thing. And you have to be familiar with the scripture to understand, but God takes something that the world uses for horror and he turns it into something that can build an individual that can stand on his or her own feet and make something for themselves and for their house. And woven through this conversation in the earlier passages is attention to the poor and attention to the stranger in the land. So it's a built-in forgiveness of debts. It's a metaphor for the forgiveness of sins. It's reciprocal in nature, and you're familiar with this. You're familiar with forgive, and it shall be forgiven you. Mercy, those that give mercy get mercy, and it's like that reciprocal quality that runs all through the Word of God and the plan of God. And so this is taught back here in the Old Testament in this year of release business. And it is not only a place for releasing those that are in debt, but it is also a seven-year period that is designed for you to repay your debt. Personal responsibility is something that's kind of fallen on hard times in the American or the Western cultural conversation, but you need to know everything about the kingdom of God has to do with you as an individual, not as the collective, and has to do with your individual responsibility. And if you're going to live for God and you're going to prosper in the things of God, you've got to shoulder up under your particular calling and responsibility, not only in the kingdom of God, but in life in general. And if you have a debt, it stands before God as something you need to pay. So there's a provision in this early portion of the chapter for provision for the poor, and you're familiar with it already. God builds it in. The crops are not harvested in the corners of the fields, so that there's something left for the poor and the orphan and the stranger in the land. And there's a lot of teaching here about proper attitude about the poor. For example, he instructs you, if your neighbor, your brother needs something, you give it to him. You open your hand out of the storehouse of God. He said, I'm going to bless you because you bless somebody else. It's that reciprocal nature. But he said, if you see the seventh year coming and you know that that debt is not going to be repaid you, you're 6 months into the sixth year and you know you're going to kiss that money or that goat or that whatever goodbye, he said, don't let an evil thought come into your heart that you're not going to open up your hand to your brother or your sister. He said, you take care of them, and God's going to take care of you. It's built into the plan of God. And he's working not only on the deeds that you do and the system of commerce that you create, but also on the condition of your heart and the way that you look on strangers and the way you look on the poor. And while we were talking about this Sunday morning, and it does bear repeating, all of the discussion about helping the poor and the stranger in the Old Testament is about the poor that are in the covenant of God. And it's about the stranger that is in the land or on your turf. And then we read through scripture that said, if he's there, he's got to be circumcised. If he's there, he's a stranger, maybe a Philistine, maybe a Canaanite, but if he's going to live on your place and your place is in Abraham's promise, he's got to be circumcised. He said there's one law for you as a Hebrew and the same law for the one that came in as a stranger, and he wants you to be hospitable to them. But this is not talking about every wino and every drug dealer and every collapsed life out on the street. This is talking about people that are on your turf and involved in the covenant of God. You have a responsibility there. You do not have a responsibility to cure poverty in the world. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. Well, praise God. So there's this 7-year period for forgiveness and a 7-year period for the payment of the debt. And 7 is God's number of completion. Some say perfection, but as you move toward maturity in the kingdom of God, then there is this implicit message here that as you move toward completion or maturity, or if you would, perfection, then you learn to forgive. On your way to the perfect place of God, you must learn to forgive. That's what the 7 years is about. And on your way to the 7 years, to the perfect, to the mature, to the complete in the kingdom of God, you've got to learn how to pay your debts. You need to pay. That's what that 7-year period is for. It's for forgiveness, but it's also for repayment. You've got to learn to carry your weight. You've got to learn to be responsible. Somebody say praise the Lord. So we pay our debts and we release our debtors. And that may sound like a conundrum to you, but that's how you operate. You, as a child of God, you pay your debts. And you, as a child of God, you release those that are in debt to you. And he wove it into the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are indebted to us. Well, praise God. It doesn't sound fair, maybe, to you, but there's nothing fair about it. When I step into the reciprocal flow of God, I don't have to worry about what I give somebody else. It's coming back down my way. I don't have to worry about me getting ahead of God. I can't outgive God. And these are God's people. So if by chance or by poor decision-making, I find myself destitute. In the Old Testament, God creates the benevolent system of slavery. And he, in doing so, says, if you owe it, but you can't pay it, I can buy you. Or rather, I already own you because you owe me a debt you can't pay. You say, well, you got to forgive me. Not till we get to year 7. So until year 7, you belong to me. And that is slavery. But it's a benevolent kind of slavery. Because at the end of it, you're going to be released. And God, in his infinite wisdom, is giving you an opportunity. You don't have the money, and you don't have a goat, and you don't have anything to pay it with, but you got your own strength, and you can lend your strength, and you can take shoulder under your responsibility, and you can pay your debt, and you can make good, and you can walk out of that thinking, I've done the right thing, and I've shouldered up under my debt, and nobody else had to carry me. That is an amazing and wonderful thing for an individual to accomplish in life and in the kingdom of God. Praise God. And in doing so, he resets the Matthew principle. The Matthew principle is, and you've read it, you read it in God's explanation about parables in chapter 13 of Matthew, and it's in other New Testament passages. Unto him that hath, more will be given, and in abundance. So if you have, you're going to get more. Now, that's true of material things, but it's also true of things like understanding and knowledge and wisdom. And in that particular passage, I think it has mostly to do with hunger. Unto those that have hunger, more revelation and knowledge is going to be given. And to those that don't have hunger. But the way it works out economically. The poor get poorer or stay poor. The rich get richer. And there's somebody here tonight that bothers you and it kind of troubles you. But it shouldn't trouble you that it comes from the Word of God. You need to sit up and look at it when you find out it comes out of the Word of God. Well, what does it mean? It means that in that Hebrew economy, that the rich were going to keep getting richer, and the poor, because of their practices or their experiences, they were going to continue to get more destitute or poorer as they would go. But God pulls the plug on the Matthew principle with his built-ins, because at the end of the 7 years, you get to go free. But what you get along the way is you haven't been a good farmer, and you haven't been a creative individual, and you haven't been a productive husbandman. But now you get to live with him, and you get to watch how he raises his flocks, and you get to see how he raises his crops. And all the while, if you got a brain in your head, you're taking notes, and you're like, oh, that's how that works, or oh, that's why I couldn't do it, and oh, I should have built a dam like that and made myself a watering hole, and all kinds of good things. In 7 years, you can learn a lot. And at the end of the 7 years, he's got to let you go. But the Bible says, don't let him go empty. Out of your storehouse, give him lots, give him flocks, give him goods, give him, load him down so that when he leaves your house, he's got all this. Well, if he's just like he was when he walked in the door, that's not going to last. That'll be just like a welfare check in his hand, and it won't do him a bit of good. He'll be hungry when the next one comes next month. But now he knows. Now he's trained. And now you've given him a grub stake. You've given him an investment, and he can take it, and now he can build his life. And God takes something horrible and ugly like slavery, and he turns it upside down, and he makes it productive and effective and a blessing and a redemption for the poor. I wish I could be a fly on the wall and hear you trying to sell that in the city of Birmingham. Hey, let me tell you how slavery's good. You might not get out of there without getting whipped or something. But you see what I'm telling you, how God, his ways are above our ways. Like the heavens are above the earth. And in metaphor, we are paupers, and we are without, and we are broken, and we are destitute. And we come to the master's house, and he says, take my yoke upon you. I own you. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You belong to God. But there's going to come a time in your experience in God that he's going to have you trained and built and equipped and filled, and you're going to be a different person than you were when you walked in the door. You're going to learn the best practices from the master's house. You're going to learn how to handle your finances and how to handle your family and how to be a good neighbor and how to be gracious and kind and how to be a productive citizen and how to glorify God in all of your behaviors and all of your goings and comings. And you're going to learn love and respect and individual responsibility. And by the time of the 7-year release, that metaphor is not clear how that plays out in the house of God here, but somewhere on the way to perfection, somewhere on the way to maturity, he loads us down with benefits, and he loads us down, and my cup runneth over, and the blessings of God are all over my life and my house, and I'm a slave. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, but my goodness, living for God in this condition is really pretty good. I'm doing better in his house than I was doing in my house without him. Somebody, that's a truth in your life, you ought to give God a little bit of praise right now. Anybody here loaded down with benefits? Anybody have a cup that's running over? Praise God. And it's true. It's true in the natural, and it's true in the spirit. So tonight, we're looking at the latter portion of this. And if your brother, a Hebrew, be sold unto you, that slave thing, and serve you 6 years, and in the 7th year, you're going to let him go free, and don't send him out empty-handed. Furnish him liberally out of your flock and out of your floor and out of your wine press. Of that wherewith the Lord has blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today, and it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loves thee, and thine house, and because he's well with thee, then thou shalt take that awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant. So after you load him down, Ben, and after you fill his buggy and load down his animals with all sorts of stuff, he looks at you and says, I really don't want to go. I want to stay here. I've learned to love you, and I've learned so much being in your house, and I love your family, and I just want to stay here. And you go out to the shack out back, and you dig around and find an old rusty awl. Maybe it's not. Maybe you're a good carpenter, and maybe you keep all your tools oiled and clean. Hope be good for you if he did. But you take him to the door, and you put his ear against the wood of that door, and steel meets flesh and meets the door, and blood runs on the steel and on the ear and on the door, and there's going to be a stain there, and it's a mark, and the place is marked, and the man is marked, and he's marked, and now everybody that sees him knows he had a chance to go. He was set free by the master, but he chose to stay. He chose to stay. He stayed because he was in love, not because he had a debt. He stayed because he was in love, not because the culture and the legal system forced him to. He stayed because he had fallen in love with the master. And even though he's free and even though he's equipped, the free man decides to stay, and he's forgiven, but he stays because he chooses to stay. So the free man, and now we touch the metaphor, because that's us, and We came into the house destitute and in need. But oh, in those way on the way toward perfection, the way toward maturity, the way toward God's plan in our lives, God's loaded us down with wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And now we can stand on our feet. And now we can do better in the world outside. And now he said, you know what? Now you can go free. But something moves in our heart. And we say, my, I don't have to stay here anymore. I'm loosed. I'm not afraid of hell. And I'm not afraid of life. And I'm not afraid of what might happen. But I don't want to leave the master's house. I want to stay here. So bring me out to the door, good master, and bring me all. And I wanna let you drill me here, make a mark on my life. And everybody that sees me will know he's a free man and he could go, but he stayed because he's in love with the master's house. Somebody say praise the Lord. Anybody here love the master's house? Anybody here love the ways of God? Has anybody fallen in love with the people of God and the things of God and the ways of God? And you got to know that he has redeemed us and that we are free and we could leave anytime we want. Had a discussion with Brother Kedrick and Brother Jamie or Brother Tim Sunday night. We were standing out in the hall out there, and we were talking about a time where, and all of this came because of a recent visit from an individual, but it kind of was